Hey, thank you all for joining us for this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast. We got a lot of cool things on tap. First off, we're going to be visiting the oldest black cemetery in Columbia, South Carolina. We are going to be visiting the grave of a civil rights pioneer. We are going to be visiting the third largest Native American burial mound in the country. We are going to discuss more cemetery symbols, and I have another story to tell you from the adventures of the Necrotourist. All that and more on this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast. Actually, we have quite a few interesting things that are in store for us. But one of the things I'm going to do is, again, I'm going to do listener emails because that's been pretty popular. But I also would like to let you guys know that if this sounds a little different than the previous shows have, we are actually changing equipment and we are changing the way we're broadcasting, and it may sound different next week than this week, and things are going to be that way over the next couple of weeks while we're redoing the studio where we're at. I'm going to get right to these emails. I got two this week, but they're two easy ones, but yet there's two simple ones. But there's a lot of discrepancy about these things. First question, this comes from Paul in Terre Haute. Paul said, what is the difference between a memorial and a monument? Well, Paul, I'm going to say that word gets kicked around and it's used interchangeably for a lot of people based on what the marker or memorial is. But I stand on this, and I'm going to tell you all this is going to be the easiest way to keep this in mind. All you need to do is think about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is the key to what is a monument and what is a memorial. If you go to Washington, D.C., you will visit the Lincoln Memorial because Abraham Lincoln is not there. If you go to Springfield, Illinois, where Abraham Lincoln is entombed, you will visit the Lincoln Monument. It's that simple. Memorial means the person is not there. Monument means the person is there. I don't care what anybody else does on their thought process. It's that simple. Lincoln Memorial means he's not there. Monument means he is there. Okay, here we go. We're going to go on to the next question, which is very similar. This comes from Kim, who is in Henrietta, New York. Okay, Kim, she asks, what is the difference between a cemetery and a graveyard? Okay, this is another one of those technical things. Because, see, the term cemetery wasn't really used till the early 1800s. As a matter of fact, Mount Auburn was the first place supposedly that ever used the term cemetery. Prior to that, most places were known as burying grounds and or graveyards or churchyards, because that's one of the differences. If it's associated with the church, it is then known as a churchyard. It is on the grounds of the church. If it is separated from the church, then it was known as a graveyard, which then later became known as a cemetery. So technically, graveyard and cemetery are interchangeable terms, but a graveyard is technically not a churchyard. Or is it? That's one of those interchangeable terms, as I said, but still, the main difference is a churchyard is attached to a church. A cemetery and a graveyard is not. They're usually associated with the community and or possibly other cemeteries, but that is the main difference. So I hope that answered your questions, Kim, as well as you, Paul, and we'll be right back on the Cemetery Podcast. I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country
dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Cemetery Podcast. Right now we're going to tell you about our feature cemetery. And this is an interesting cemetery that we found while we were visiting Columbia, South Carolina. And we were visiting the obvious Elmwood Cemetery. But you would be remiss if you didn't go right next door to the Randolph Cemetery. Now, the Randolph Cemetery, as I said, is located in Columbia, South Carolina. That's in Richland County. That is the capital of South Carolina, by the way. And this was the first African-American cemetery in Columbia. It was established in 1871. And as a matter of fact, it is named the Randolph Cemetery. It is named after Benjamin Franklin Randolph. He was actually a black senator who was assassinated in 1868 in nearby Abbeville County as he was changing trains. And when this cemetery was established a few years later, he was one of the first people interred, obviously, because it's named after him. Now, originally, it was a 3-acre plot that they bought from Elmwood, but it's been expanded to 6. Now, the famous people that are there, it actually holds the remains of 5 of South Carolina's Reconstruction-era state senators and 3 state representatives, that is. It has the first black postmaster general of South Carolina, which is super cool. And it has several other prominent black leaders in the 19th and 20th centuries. Now, some of the things that you're able to find as you travel around, you know, often in black cemeteries, you find things that you may or may not find in others. And it was even noted in the historical archives that Randolph Cemetery is known to have various markers, manufactured aluminum markers, bronze and stone tablets, granite and marble obelisks, obviously, brick crypts. Say that word 3 times fast. Brick crypts. Boy, I'm really on it. Granite headstones and footstones, ledgers, tabletop stones, homemade grave markers such as concrete tablets, as well as those made of brick with stuck-on mailbox letters. That's right, you will see it all at the Randolph Cemetery. Many of the graves, though, they have the, like you do see down south a lot, the low brick walls that surround the family, and or they have those wrought iron fences. So it's really interesting because you'll see a huge variety of graves at this cemetery. Now, it was actually listed on the National Registry of Historic Places in 1995. But here's an interesting thing about the past. In 1959, the city of Columbia started clearing out that area for urban renewal, when they were looking for things of historic significance. And the cemetery was presented by a local resident known, her name was Minnie Williams. Williams, along with several of the descendants of the founders of the reestablished Randolph Cemetery Association, they were able to win stewardship when they won a lawsuit. So they do have an organization that is taking donations and volunteers to help to continue with the restoration work that was going on when we visited in 2020. So if you'd like to help them out, you can visit them on their website at historicrandolphcemetery.org. Hello, boys and girls. It's time again for another cemetery symbol. And today's symbol is the cross. That's right. The cross is the symbol of religious faith, an enduring symbol of religious faith. Christians view the cross as the symbol of faith in Christ and hope for the atonement. Now, we'll tell you that there's several types of crosses that are out there, and here's just a few. The agony cross, which has 3 arms that come to a sharp point, like the point of the nail. It is symbolic of the suffering of Christ, who was nailed to the wooden cross. There is also the Calvary Crosses, and they are mounted on a platform of three steps. The ascent represents the club Christ made to Calvary. There is also the Celtic Cross, and it has a ring or a nimbus that connects the four arms. It originated in Ireland and in Great Britain. There is also the crucifix, which shows the figure of Christ suffering on the cross. And in our final one, the Harvest Cross shows an ivy wrapped around the cross, indicating that his departed has been clinging to Christ, but it also shows wheat, grapes, and symbols of the harvest, or the fruits of the good works and the labors of those who are deceased. And there are just a few of the types of crosses that you can find that are cemetery symbols. All right, everybody, this segment we are going to be discussing Native American burials. And today we're going to be discussing one of my favorites. Actually, I've been to this one three times. It's actually not very far away from where our home base is in Cincinnati, Ohio, but it is actually located in Miamisburg, Ohio, which is in Montgomery County, which is near Dayton, Ohio. And we are talking about none other than the Miamisburg Mound. It is actually one of the three tallest burial grounds in the U.S., and it is definitively one of the largest conical burial mounds in Ohio. Originally, it stood 70 feet tall. It currently is 65 feet tall, and it is 877 feet in circumference. And it contains approximately 54,000 cubic yards of earth. Now, the mound itself is visible for several miles away because it stands atop a 100-foot-high ridge above the Great Miami River. Now, it was built by the Adena culture, who existed from approximately 800 BC to AD 100. They built the mound itself in several stages. Now, in modern times, in 1869, there was a partial excavation, but the mound has never been professionally excavated. Now, like I said, there is a beautiful view there. There is a set of steps, which is 116 steps. 116, man, I can't believe how many times I've done that. Actually, those steps were built to be able to observe, get to the top of the summit, and there is now actually a 37-acre park that is opened up and surrounding the mound, which is a nice experience. So this thing was added to the National Registry of Historic Places in 1970, but I will tell you, if you have the ability to stop at the Miamisburg Mound and you dig Native American burials, this is one you will not regret. And be aware that sometimes when you're at the top, it's very windy. I actually almost strangled myself one time by having my hat around my neck, which has a drawstring. And the drawstring was hooked around my neck when the wind blew my hat off and practically killed me on top of the Miamisburg Mound. So be safe, be careful, but definitely visit the Miamisburg Mound. Hey, NERCAR travelers, do you have a good idea for a show? Or do you want to be a podcaster? It's really simple, and all you got to do is go to anchor.fm. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. You could be the next podcast star.
Here's another cemetery hunting tip from the Necro Tourist.
Hey, Necro Travelers. Here's another tip I'm going to give you, which is going to be super important. Okay, this is what I am going to tell you. Don't rely on your phone, especially if you are going to a rural cemetery. Be sure you plot where you're going and handwritten directions, because I will tell you, dozens and dozens and dozens of times over the years, we have found ourselves in rural areas where there is no internet at all. And unless you have your directions or your maps downloaded ahead of time, you may be stuck with no connection. We actually one time went on a 9-county trip in Ohio, and in 7 of those counties, we had 0 internet. So I say again, write it down, download the maps, but get a map. Don't rely on your phone for directions and maps to rural cemeteries.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is one of my favorite segments. This is the featured famous grave. Now, I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when we visited this grave, it was one of the top five reasons why we went to Detroit, Michigan. And when we went there, the grave we went to visit was none other than the mother of the civil rights movement herself, Miss Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was actually born on February the 4th, 1913 in Alabama, and she died in 2005 in Michigan. Now, most of you obviously know Rosa Parks' significance and history and her background and her story. I don't want to go deeply into that. I'm here to tell you about visiting her grave. I do want to tell you a fact that she is one of only a handful of people that have ever been able to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol in the Rotunda, and she is the first woman to do so. The United States flag was flown at half staff in her honor over all public buildings the day of her funeral. Now, she is buried in the Woodlawn Cemetery in Detroit, Michigan, in Wayne County. Now, she is buried, actually not buried, she is actually entombed between her husband and her mother. And actually, the epitaph on her grave quite simply reads, Rosa L. Parks, wife, 1913 to 2005. And it's that simple because she wanted it that simple. That's what she wanted. Now, actually, her marker is inside of the Freedom Chapel, which is really right in the front of Woodlawn. As soon as you pull in and you immediately turn to your left, the Freedom Chapel is there. Maybe you'll get lucky, maybe you won't be able to go inside and visit her grave. The chapel itself is actually known as the Rosa Parks Freedom Chapel. It was renamed to honor her. And whether you know or not, she is the recipient of numerous awards. She has actually received the Congressional Gold Medal, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Alabama Governor's Medal of Honor for extraordinary courage. She is someone to remember, and she is definitely a famous grave for you to visit, especially when you're in the Detroit area.
Hey, would you like your cemetery conservation done with respect and honor? Then contact our friends at Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair. With 23 years of practicing conservation, Robert Moscow is a third-generation historical mason. He also holds a master's degree in historical preservation and has conserved more than 89 cemeteries and worked on more than 8,000 gravestones and monuments. He does practice a do-no-harm method, and all of the work is documented and photographed. You can check them out at cemeteryrepair.com. Again, that's Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair.
Welcome to a Cemetery Podcast Medal of Honor moment. And this moment is dedicated to Powhatan Beatty. Beatty was born in October of 1837, and he died December 6th, 1916. He is buried at the Union Baptist Cemetery in Cincinnati, Ohio, in Hamilton County. Powhatan was known to have served in the 5th U.S. Colored Infantry, and to quote his award, took command of his company, all of the officers having been killed or wounded, and gallantly led it. Well, after the war, he moved back to Cincinnati, and he pursued his first love of acting. He actually was able to perform with the actress of his time, and he was able to cap his professional life with a performance at the Ford Theater in D.C. Yes, that Ford Theater. Powhatan Beatty, we salute you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for one of my favorite parts, as I've said, a tale from the adventures of the Necrotourist. Now, I have to tell you, we have been to Detroit, Michigan several times. And on this particular adventure, we were visiting the Woodlawn Cemetery. And the Woodlawn Cemetery is one of the most famous cemeteries in Detroit. It's one that you definitely need to put on your list. It's one you need to visit, and they have plenty of famous people there, and it's certainly worth it. It's a beautiful place to go, nice layout. But the problem with my adventure was this. When it was getting close to time to leave. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many of you have had run-ins with security at a cemetery. Now, I have to tell you, after 22 states and 1,100 cemeteries, I've had several run-ins with security. Sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it's not. This particular time, it was a ridiculous encounter. Let me explain. Now, for those of you that have been there, this will seem very familiar to you. For those of you who have not, quite simply, let me explain. When you drive into the front gates, you can immediately pull to your left. That's where the chapel is, where Rosa Parks is entombed. And you can head off to the straight forward to the right, and there you're head up towards the area where the lake is and such. But as you go straight forward, there's a section immediately ahead, straight ahead, the very first section you come to on your left. Now, there are a couple R&B artists that are buried there. And, you know, this was literally at the end of our shoot. We had achieved all of our targets we were after at the cemetery. And we were, you know, wrapping up what we were doing. We had two or three graves to shoot, and then we were finished. Well, mind you, this is in July. This is the very beginning of July. Not 4th of July, but, you know, a few weeks when, you know, the sun is going down at 9:30. So we're wrapping up, and all of a sudden security walks up to us. This is a few minutes before 7 o'clock. And the guy goes, "Hey, are you guys done? We're going to be locking the gates." And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's fine. We only have a few more things to shoot. And that won't be a problem at all. And as we start to go towards the gate, I see a sign that says, "Gates open from dusk till dawn." Or I'm sorry, "Gates closed from dusk till dawn." Now, mind you, I said this is in July. The sun ain't going down till 9:30. These guys are saying that they want to lock the gate up at 7 o'clock. Now, mind you, there is also nowhere where there is a sign posted that says anything about the hours of the gates of the cemetery. It says the hours of the office, and it says that the gates are open till dusk. I repeat that. Why this is important? I tell the guy, "Dude, we're nowhere near dusk." And he proceeds to tell me, "Well, we lock the gates every night at 7 o'clock. I said, "You do?" I said, "Is that the normal procedure?" And he goes, "Well, you know, if you guys aren't going to leave," he goes, "I'm going to call my boss." And I said, "Oh, please do." I said, "As a matter of fact, I'm going to call your boss." So I go to ring the security number, the one that's posted, you know, if something happens. And I am then in turn now speaking to the supervisor. Now, mind you, I'm not trying to fault the cemetery specifically for this, because they hire an outside security company, and I am to find that out later. But at this point, I'm speaking to the supervisor of the security company. And I proceed to tell him, "Hey, you know, your guy is trying to force me out of here. And it says that the gates are open until dusk." And the supervisor turns around and says, "We lock the gates every night at 8 o'clock. So I proceed to say, "Now, which one of you two are a liar?" And he says, "Pardon me?" I said, "You just told me you lock the gates every night at 8 o'clock. The dude that's trying to force me out of the gate told me you guys lock the gates every night at 7 o'clock. So which one of you is a liar? And which one of you am I going to tell the cemetery office in the morning that not only are you guys forcing people out early, you're not even following the standards that are consistent with each other?" So the guy says to me, "Well, how much more do you need to finish what you need to do?" And I said, "Well, you know, if you guys hadn't been hassling me, I would have probably already been done, because now it's been about a half hour or so." I said, "But if I had another half hour, I could finish what I needed." He said, "Fine, you can have another half hour." So at that point, I backed up to the section, which was only about 20 feet from where I was. And mind you, I was already done with the shooting that I needed to do. I just was looking for a few extra things. So the guy said, "How much time do you need?" I said, "I don't know, half hour." And he said, "Fine, is 8 o'clock okay?" And I said, "Yeah, that's fine." So at that point, I pulled up into that section one. I pulled out a cool drink. I kicked back in my chair of my car. And I sat there for 30 minutes and just enjoyed the peace and quiet and serenity of knowing that I had to make that guy sit there for an extra half hour because he cost me time, because he was a liar and he had no idea what the rules were. And he's just another one of those people that likes to exercise his authority, and or he's just a lazy worker who wants to make sure he has all the people out of there earlier than what they should be. So all I can tell you is that if you, just like us, go to visit the Woodlawn Cemetery in Detroit, Michigan, be sure that you find out what time the gates are going to close before you go in, because it could be 7, it could be 8, or it could be dusk. I guess it just depends who's working.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me for this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast. I'd definitely like to thank the people that I'm associated with, my traveling companion, Charlotte Graves, Senior Bull, my show announcer, Ray Morales. I would also like to thank my friends at Gals in the Graveyard, as well as at Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. And everybody who gets involved, please be sure to check out our websites as well as our YouTube channel and watch our videos on Facebook, because a couple of days from now, we usually put up video versions of these audio broadcasts. Again, thank you for joining me on the Cemetery Podcast. For the Necro Tourist, this is Ken Negley saying, I'll see you in the yard.